And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Remember, we are not afraid!
No fear here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix, a dog home. not the best one, but not bad. Okay. What we're going to do this hour is I wanted to go over some of the headlines. We did that yesterday, and it helps me get caught up on a lot of the things, the perspective that we have on Freedoms Phoenix and kind of the stuff you need to know. And it's a perspective. Everybody's going, well, that article's not very, and that, why would you get, it's a wide radar screen, man. You know, as we go over it, you'll understand it's what you, yeah, I think, you know, is one, entertaining, of interest, and adds to your, you know, skill set, knowledge. This is, you know, Skip, that's going to be a really interesting presentation. I'm looking forward to having this kind of information. We've had it in the past, where first years we had Karen and Dennis, Karen went to a botanical. Well, it was Peter Bigfoot out. It's Revis Mountain Ranch. It's Revis, right? Yeah, Mountain School. Yeah, that's what it is. And he's been there. Well, I'll tell you, Dr. Tamburi, when he was doing pre-med or something at ASU, they went out there and learned how to, I think he was doing pre-med, well, he went to wherever he's going, medical school or something. They went out as a field trip to spend a weekend with him, and they became good friends. And then we went out, you know, and met with him before. I've been out there, and we, you know, he turned us into, you know, field plowers. He'd, if we'd give him a half a day's worth of work, he'd show us some stuff, you know. And it was really, really interesting in how you can make use of the desert. In fact, that's how he became well known. It was in the late 70s. I mean, I was in, high school in the late 70s. And I remember they made a big deal at, you know, a lot of people moving to Arizona on how to not die. You know, the desert is, oh my God, you got to have your, oh, and on the video, we're scrolling some of our first domes that we did, aquapon. I just had that file up there because we're going to be bringing one. This is 16-foot dome. We're going 23-foot. It's like, I don't know, twice as big. You know, it's double the square footage, and it's just, it's enormous. It's really, it's big. And we, it's been shipped, and Derek showed, sent me a picture. Yep, it got, it. Here it is. We got it. So we're going to put it up at Pork Fest and, you know, do the dome thing. You know, and it's you'll be impressed. We'll get a lot of good pictures, and you'll see. That'd be cool. But what was I talking about? But what I wanted to do is, as we evolve into, you know, skills and needs and what we should have and do's and things, it's been my experience that we don't have an overall standard. That's why I like having the Art of Manliness site. It's just simple stuff. I mean, if you go there, we'll put thing. I happened to see it from Lou Rockwell one time, and Gary Gannon, the activist, you know, here at Sun City West, is always sending stuff from there. So I just made it part of my, you know, I go to and take a look at, you know, different things. And let's see, it's how to develop the savoir-faire of James Bond. You know, how to be a man, and you'll wear a boat, and you'll tie a bow tie or something. You know, that kind of the illustrated art of manliness, the perfect Father's Day gift. And it's, you know, how to pick a lock, first impression body language, men's dress shoes, you know, how to, you know, different styles and what to do. You know, You know, a lot of little things like, you know, travel and leisure, how to pack your bags, how to be a man, you know, little stuff, how to start fire. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just, you know, it's kind of not, you know, a sexist thing. It's just kind of, you know, man, if you got muscles, you might be called upon to use them. That was another thing. You know, fitness is a big deal. You know, a lot of, it's just, you know, where else do you get this kind of stuff? And I'm hoping that we can, you know, learn these kind of skills to make you a cosmopolitan man. You know, think, and I don't know what else to call it. If you go into any other culture, are you going to get shot right away? I mean, can you go in, if you spent a month with an Eskimo family, they expected you to sleep with their wife, or you didn't, you know, you didn't show them enough respect, or, you know, Arab communities where you admired some horse and you better take the one they gave you, whether you got a backyard or not. And, you know, I mean, there's all of these different cultural things. How, with all that in mind, what kind of person can you be and not be offensive to anybody? I mean, there's simple things like in certain Asian cultures, you know, if you show the sole of your feet, you might as well be flipping them the bird. If you touch their hair, they have to kill you. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of these things. What is it that would make you a pleasant person to have around and not die anywhere? I mean, assuming they're not just looking for, you know, gringo or white man, and they're just going to, you know, take you hostage and kill you anyway. But, I mean, you know, this is, I'm just wondering, what are these kinds of, and a lot of them are social. And if you're indispensable, if you have skills or you're worth something, at least, you know, you have a better chance. So I'm, these are the kind of things that I'm looking to add into what? The pirate thing. You know, I'm telling you, if you go pirate, you know, there's a code. And think about this. One thing that we learned, Dobby and I were doing a lot of research, you know, watching old movies and stuff, and doing some, they come up with a phrase or a character that, you know, is historical. It's like, and you start looking it up, you Wikipedia, you do some other research, find books or something, and you go. And the one thing that really surprised me was how democratic the ships were. And if you think about it, you know, the ships oftentimes were confiscated, you know, taken, plundered, boarded, whatever. And, you know, who owned it? And if you did own it, it doesn't matter because you got a bunch of pirates. And you piss them off, they got swords. So it was amazing how many times a single ship, the captain would flip back and forth. You know, well, we support this guy now and this guy. And these are pirates. Because if you piss off pirates, problem solved. You know, you're dead. Then what? These social structures, there's, you know, there's respect, there's leadership, there's a lot of different skills that go into this. And you can't make people be certain ways. You can encourage them. You can give them positive reinforcement. You can have some kind of, you know, the ramifications of bad decisions. You know, there's a lot of this stuff. But we're so insulated from that. There is no consequences. You know, I mean, of course there are, but for society, you know, they're just safety net. Well, it just might as well be a dependency cord, you know, just plug Jackie in the back of the head and you're placated. These are the important things to me. When you get, you know, we get our airship and we're up and kind of, oh, it's mine. But what happens if you have a crowdsource funded kind of something? Then what? You know, is the entity in charge the ship? You know, I found it fascinating the more I got into this, because we've been doing this social experiment with Jackalope. The reason we started Jackalope was Porkfest was getting a little too regimented. You know, you ban people, you allow certain things, you emphasize different things. It's kind of a top-down central command of, this is why we're going to do this way for the goal of something else that, you know, I'm for just experimenting. And we're out, and where can you do that? If you have private property, then somebody's still, you know, what happens? You go out in the forest. Now, of course, the man wants to tell you they own it. But, I mean, you know, you're just, nobody's in charge. Then what? Then what? Somebody does something stupid. Then what? Do you remove somebody from the group? How do you do it? Who's in charge of doing that? And when you do it, then you got ramifications. I ain't doing it anymore. These are important things. Well, we come back, we'll go through the headlines. I'm sure it'll dovetail in a lot of this because there's always headlines that make you think about this stuff. We'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Guest is going to get it sometime. Sometime they're going to go, hey, that's Johnny Quest. I go, all right, what is that? Johnny Quest. You win. You win. Okay. Donna, this is what we're going to do. One of the top stories for popularity yesterday, too, was one, the show from yesterday. You know, we did the show. That was popular. I mean, they were looking for the Trump report, and they didn't get the Trump report because, Frank, we did find out they did have the baby, and it was a thing. You know, it was, you know, emergency cesarean, going to the hospital kind of thing. But baby's okay. We don't even know if it's a boy or a girl yet. Savarta's okay. Frank, not okay. It was strained and stretching. It didn't go any way the way it didn't plan or nothing. And I'm going, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but we're going to hear the story. Now, next week, Keith and Frank, Donna's going to be here. So they, one of the days next week, and hopefully Monday would be easier for me. But we'll turn the studio over and I get a day off at, you know, Somalia Fest and Pork Fest. And I'm just going, okay, we get to hear all about, and for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, Frank is going to dump on the healthcare system, man. He was not happy. And he's kind of recovering and, you know, days, you know, his 30-something hour labor, just, you know, no. Well, you know, for women, the thing that happens is I've gone through this. We did like a 30-hour labor with our first and emergency cesarean, the whole thing. And I tell you, you know, you're just like, I don't care, man. You know, boy, girl, just healthy, everybody survive. I'm glad, you know, modern technology is available. But the big thing that I got out of it was I'm just so – the parents are secondary unless you're doing it a home birth. They tried that, and then, of course, you have problems. It's good to have the technology there. But he's not happy with how things went, and hasn't really given us details other than we're just bugging the living crap out of him. Look, man, I'm going to have to come down and kick somebody's butt. You don't tell us what's going on. And so basically had the baby. Everybody's fine. Frank's pissed off. So we're going to hear all about it. So next week you got that to look forward to. Now, so that show was really popular, I guess, for that reason, and a lot of the headline stuff we went over. And one of the other popular articles was Law in a Stateless Society by Butler Schaefer. A law professor, Butler Schaefer, retired. You know, he's a good friend. So I told Don, I said, yeah, let's get Butler on about the third week of July. It'll be a week or two before Jackalope. And we'll have Skip on again and talk about some of these things because we're going to get all pirated up. That's another thing. I'm just going through showing you, you know, on the video, I have usually magazine covers or something. But we have a lot of other files like our Freedom Summits or Aquaponics or Jackalope or something like that we'll put up there. And I just threw up one of the Freedom Summits there. You'll recognize a lot of the speakers and stuff. But I go, hey, man. We need a pirate category. We got enough graphic and art and T-shirts and stuff and everything. We need it. Well, we're probably going to do that after Pork Fest. We have so many new banners and everything I just packed yesterday to take. And it's going to be a lot of graphics. You know, we're going to have a lot of fun with this. So we're going to go ahead and get our own video rolling file of, and then of course we'll put it in the archive and you get to see a lot of the cool things we've been working on. Or you go to piratswithoutborders.com and see some of the stuff there. But this article by Butler Schaefer, he is definitely an anarchist, voluntarist, leave me aloneist or whatever, but mainly chaos. Chaos theory. I mean, that's you know, one of his big books was all about, hey man, you know, stuff just works out. So law in a stateless society. Just because you don't have a state doesn't mean you don't got law. So how much time we got here? I may Rather than doing headlines, I wonder if I should read some of the. You know, I'll start reading this for, you know, the rest of this segment, a few minutes here, and you kind of get the idea. And we'll talk about this very thing. This would be great to do a show on with Butler when we come back. It'd be like a week or two before Jackalope. All right. When law and morality contradict each other, the citizen has the cruel alternative of either losing his moral sense or losing his respect for the law. Frederick Bastiat. These fundamental concepts was, you know, really, really at the heart of people just abandoning the state. And whether they were traditional pirates or not, they definitely were called that. So we've embraced the term. A seemingly well-planned and directed campaign against Sharia law has been taking place in a number of American cities, while the obvious purpose of this effort has been to drum up support for anything anti-Muslim. It does raise some interesting inquiries in asking what is Sharia law and who would be bound by it. Much deeper political questions are implicated. An initial question to be asked is, what is law? A superficial answer is that it is rules set by government that the state will enforce through coercion. While the word includes that, an understanding of the concept involves so much more. At its core, law is unavoidably tied up with the property question. Who gets to make decisions about what? Every dispute or conflict we have with others comes down to a property question. Did my dog trespass on your lawn? The distinction between victimizing and victimless crimes turns on the question of whether a property interest was trespassed. Murder is the intentional taking of the life of another, a violation of the victim's ownership of self. Prostitution, if based on a voluntary transaction between two adults, involves no property violation. Do some people get to establish enforceable rules against others? And if so, how does such authority arise? In a society that respects the inviolability of the private property principle, only owners of what is theirs can rightfully make such decisions. If Muslims in America wish to create and enforce rules of conduct under the name Sharia law, who would be bound to observe such standards? If you're not a Muslim, would you be bound? If you are a Muslim but have not agreed to obey such rules, could they nonetheless be enforced against you? And if so, by whom? See, this brings up a lot of really good stuff. You know, I suggest you go and go to Freedom's Phoenix and look for Law in a Stateless Society by Butler Schaefer. In fact, I think I sent it out in Dispatch as the top story. You know, I think that might be one helping get it up towards the top because I thought it was important. So this is, you know, and then what do we have? Judge Napolitano has an article here, The Consent of the Governed. Last week when former FBI Director James Comey gave his long way, blah, 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 and he uses that. But it's consent of the governed. What is, you know, what is that? What does that mean? Consent of, you consented to the majority of I kick your ass? Is that what it was? You know, so this pirate thing, I'm telling you, man, it's going to bring up a lot of stuff, a way of thinking, and, you know, to be a good little pirate, you know, a little Voyager pirate. You know, these guys, you need to be a good pirate. What are good pirates? And the bad guys are not going to like, the crown is not going to like that. There's no such thing as a good pirate. You're either under our control, you fly our flag, or you're a bad guy. Man, I'm against all flags. Bad guy! Are you really? See, these are questions. How do you bring this stuff up and have fun with it? How can you? That's what I do.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hanna.
Marking way. You know, I just freedom, man. Leave me aloneism. That's kind of the common theme here. That's what we're going to do. We're going to focus on that. You know, one of the things that, you know, it's all about community, and sometimes it just comes down to just friends. you know, who you choose to associate with and so on. Well, we were talking about in the Art of Manliness, we have an article up talking about that very thing. Five types of friends every man needs. Really? All right. Basically, I'll just, you know, skip to the end on this. You know, you have different kinds of friends. Like the first one they mentioned here is the mentor. There comes a time, probably many times in a man's life, where he just needs to talk to another guy and get some advice. So the mentor. Now, who might that be? I mean, think of, you know, dad, uncles, church religious organizations, fraternal organizations. You know, I mean, somebody, you know, that they kind of supply. They try and give you a guidance counselor in high school, but that's. Yeah. But the you'll find a good mentor has a big impact. And over the years, I've been to a lot of young people because I'm in the restaurant industry and have my own restaurant and management before. And I've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of people come through over decades, you know, through the rest, because you get a lot of turnover because, I mean, they're kids. You know, they're 16 or you have them for a year or two or what. You have a big impact as a coach, a teacher. You know, a boss. And you can see a lot of times what they're missing, you know, or just need, you know, somebody else, not dad. I mean, I really, more than I get jealous, I encourage a lot of people I respect to spend time with my kids, you know, like especially my sons. Hey, you know, tell my son about this, you know, and I just kind of go, well, my kids will share way more about their personal, you know, their finances or their business or their work or whatever with everybody but me. So I'm just like, hey, you guys just talk conversation. And I'll just go around, you know, and just kind of hang out 20 feet away and kind of listen. Hey, I found out something. Yay. So, you know, it's a mentor. That's, you know, that plays a lot. The wingman, you know, the bachelor. You know, when you're single, it's... you know, this is the friend who acts like your wingman, not necessarily in the way to, you know, the label often used in popular culture as the guy who distracts a woman's friend so you can make a move on her. You know, yeah, you got a wingman. All right, you know, so that's the wingman. The handyman. All right, yeah, yeah, you got the handyman. You know, the guy that can actually do stuff. You know, here's somebody that you know, uses tools. He knows a little bit about everything. You know, kind of, you know, the home improvement project, you know, how to tune a car or something. So who's that guy? I don't know. You know, it's a neighbor, a friend, a hardware store guy, you know, Hacker Spaces. You know, that's a good place. Then you got the fitness buff. There's always that one guy, man, he's lifting weight. Ooh, and how much can I bench press? You know, this might be your least favorite of friends, but, you know, he can do Spartans with you. And, you know, how do you find these guys? Well, you know, it's at the gym or... You know, different, you know, throughout life. But, yeah, there's always, you know, kind of the five guys. You got that fitness guy. There's the work pal. You know, it's just somebody you work with, share some interest in your profession. And so these are, you know, these the guys, do they all hang out with each other? Or are these just friends that you have? Well, these traits kind of round out people. And when you have a bug out situation or zombie apocalypse of later, or things are just rough, a recession, a depression, a freaking, oh my God, war. See, we're not, we're insulated a lot more than like, there are recent generations around the world that have had, you know, loved ones killed. There's been a bombing raid of a war of devastation. Of bad guy came through the village of shot and did kind of, and we are so spoiled in comparison. I mean, I think, you know, humans generally are pretty peaceful. You leave them alone, isn't, but there's always that one guy, you know, there's always that one. How do you prepare against that one situation, that one disaster, that one individual, that one group, that one? How do you have civilization in the face of that? Just because you have the state, that's not civilization. You know, that. In fact, they destroy civilizations. A lot of oftentimes, more often than not, they destroy their own civilization. So we just need to be thinking about, I'm not advocating any one particular thing. I'm just going, look, man, these are things, this is what's going to happen. Guarantee it. You're going to be in a situation. What is your role in this new community? Are you the cosmopolitan kind of, you know, we're not pissed off he's here? You know, I'm glad to have you around. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of various different kind of communities that, Ernie, you're not so much. We just said, no, we don't need your kind. You know, and those places I probably don't want to be there anyway. But, you know, I'm, where are you welcome? Where do you feel welcome? That was one thing. That was his name. Andrew Henderson, Nomad Capitalist. He made a big deal. We had him on the show, and he had different events we went to and so on. And he's a young man. I may be 30 now. And travels the world, does a lot of finance stuff, you know. But his father gave him some advice. You go where you're treated the best. What the hell does that mean? I don't know. It's a subjective thing. I go here because I like being here. I'm treated better here. Let's go here. You know, what's the law on that? It doesn't matter. It's a culture thing. I'm treated better here. I go here. Or until I'm not. You know, so, all right. You know, these kind of things, these are the important things I think we need to start thinking more about. And this pirate thing gives us that opportunity. I'm looking forward to, you know, as this evolves, I'm really looking forward, you know, to putting enough presentation that we have, enough developed, the site, you know, the artwork, the merchandise, the paraphernalia, the concept, the, and we have a commercial, you know, we just ran out of time. We were so busy doing so much stuff. But one of the copy for one of the commercials that we're going to be doing, we're kind of going back and forth with it, and Davi had, I'll just read it. I don't know, how long would this be? Less than a minute. But we're trying to give the idea of, you know, what this is really about. You know, it's the state. It's the crown, you know. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our light. Well, I say there is freedom in the black. The crown keeps its subjects clamoring for security from ghost stories. Well, I say the hobgoblins are imaginary. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness and dominates the globe by sea and land. Well, I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond their grasp. Well, that's exactly what we intend to do. So it's time for us to define the conduct among pirates. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know how you think? Join us at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find. Now, you get Ben Stone to read that, and that'd be cool. So this is the kind of mindset that we're doing. What happens when this mindset, there is freedom in the black? It came from Black Sails. There was the last episode is just awesome. There's a lot of great speeches in there, and you know what this is. The whole series kind of comes to the fruition of, you know, what this is really all about. And he goes, you know, civilization or the state, the crown, whatever. They scare their children with their shadows. They cast shadows everywhere. Don't go over there. We are the light. Stay with us in the light. There be dragons in the shadows. Well, it's not true. There's freedom in the shadows. There's freedom in the black. Now, we like using in the black because that's a kind of a Firefly Serenity thing going to space. But it's this mindset to be a voyager, a young voyager. You know, I share this. I like, you know, the audience that, you know, regularly listens to the show, which are, you know, quite a few, you know, enough. And I'm going, you know, I just, hopefully you're starting to feel this evolution. There's a means to my madness. There's an understanding of what's going to happen, and we're sharing.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah, well, showing Donna, you know, put some of the designs up. You're watching the video, you go to the top left of freedomphoenix.com, and you see my picture up there, and you just hit play, and you'll see the live streaming. You can see the artwork that we have. You know, a lot of these, you know, I really like it. And you'll see the dome that we did. You know, we put it together in the driveway, and it took up the whole, I got big driveway, man. And it's, you know, at the center height, how high is that thing? It's like 14, 15 feet high. in the middle. So it's big enough, all right? So we shipped all that. We made the, chunked out the pieces, and we shipped them, and, now Derek's got them, and we're doing it. The one, you'll see one of the buttons and one of the designs is, be off-grid. Yeah, I want to be off-grid. And I go, no. I it's going to be better. Here's us making a bunch of the, stuff I want to get to. I want to get to it. And it's right. Man, we got a lot of pictures here. I want to go right there because we're not off the grid. We're above the grid. Pirates Without Borders. Above the grid. There's, where is that one? There it is. Above the grid. I love this graphic. It's kind of hard to screen print and off, anyway, you'll see it at the Pork Fair. We'll have a bunch of pictures of it. We're above the grid. Off the grid. Above the grid. Yep. This is, and I'm really glad that we're as far along as we are. I mean, we're still never done, but it's getting close to done. And one of the benefits is we're done enough that we can make a really good presentation at Somalia Fest and Pork Fest. But it's more than that. And we can get a lot of pictures and some video and, we will develop. But it's getting to talk to the guys. Everybody just kind of, they're the right mindset, and they certainly know ours. So I'm going, this is where we're going with this. This is how we're going. Then when we come back, we'll go to Jackalope. We'll kind of pimp it out there too. And there's a bunch of other places that we may, there's a lot of material. We're going to need the participation of the community. That's one reason why we are going to do the marketing is I tell you what we need. I hadn't even looked at it. The forum on piratewithoutborders.com, I don't even look at it. We have it all, the structure sitting there, people probably saying whatever. I don't even know. I don't care. Because after we start the radio promotion and the banner ads, it's really to get the people that we want. We've already been recruiting individuals and letting them know. At some point, I'm going to be sending out and requesting that, all the right kind of mindset guys, the voluntarists, leave me aloneist, go and populate the Pirate Forum, because when you're attacking all these different categories and you're advocating for decentralization of communication and education and transportation and food and water and healthcare and automation even, when you do that, man, there's a troll special interest of we got a group of a hell no. You got it. Well, what about, the coolers? Oh, but you need a, they're just, informants for the crown. But you need to have I've been through this many times. I tell you straight up. I know better. You create something, you got the, and they're there to stop something from going viral, to prevent its adoption, to cast more problems and trouble. Look, I screwed them up. Ha 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 ha. Fortunately, two things. One, I need the delete button. Delete. You deleted me. You damn Skippy, I did. And here's the reason why, whatever you're not, with what we're trying to do an accomplishment of, and you have some statement, and before, and we'll talk about that, how, who gets deleted. Because the other way, you deleted my, this isn't a free one. You got to go, yeah, it's, in the end, it's not yours, all right? But the, but you got to be open, and you just provide a direction. And, that's, whatever leadership we can provide there. But the biggest part of leadership is, just tolerance. Let everybody have their say. I don't have to agree with them. I don't care. But it's, but you'll know. And you let them go long enough so that it's obvious to everybody else, too. And this is a business owner. This is what I've learned. Good people don't like working with bad people. They know. So my crew and employees, I may have a lot of turnover as I add new people, but the people that stayed there, you're there more than a month. You're there for years, unless, something happens, because you whip through the bad guys really quick. And everybody's like, yep, we won't be suffering that guy very long. Ernie will take care. You have a bad guy, it sets a bad tone. Yep. And we're not going to have to worry about, you won't be long here. And they're damn Skippy. That's a leadership role, because good people don't like dealing with bad people. They'll just go somewhere else. So you go, bad's gone, which is why bad guys infiltrate and infect a lot of these things. So I need a lot of the good guys there first to have a wall, an army, for when the trolls come, boom, because you need them there. I need them to come. They provide the context under which you're making these arguments. And then as soon as they're just disruptive, destructive, and they're not looking to learn, next, well, then they'll come back as something. You know, this. I expect this. If it doesn't happen, it means we're not being effective. We're not doing it right. If they doesn't attract this kind, so we need to have a marketing campaign to seed the first round of people participating in the forum. And we've been very selective in, you know, talking to a lot of people about, you know, the, so are you a pirate? Are you going to pirate that? Yeah, you know, let's talk about it. So this is a long term thing. And you know, people come up to me and I've had a lot of these discussions and meetings and so on over time. You know, I just had a long conversation, beginning of the week with Nick Sarwark, the national chair of the Libertarian Party. He's a friend. He lives close by and so on. And trying to, is there any overlap? Oh, we got it. You got it. No, I don't. I don't need ballots. I don't care. I just go. If I wanted to play politics and just so I can put up a bunch of signs, I'd just go create a political action committee down in the county and I put up signs. Yeah, we're for again something, you know, paid for by me kiss my butt and I put up a bunch of signs. You think I'm going to be signless? I'm like, don't worry about it. You know, because I was thinking of running as a write-in for mayor just to be a butt, and it's not up this year. I don't know why I was thinking it was up this year, you know. And I'm going, God, man, that'd be good. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll do a political action committee, something. You know, it's a little bit of paperwork. But it's I don't mind the little bit of paperwork if I get to say, I hate paperwork. I'm not a paperwork guy. No, here's some paperwork for me to put up a sign to say, yo, paperwork sucks. You know, can I do that? Nah, 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 nah. So this is, and they ask me, they go, well, is this your next, thing? How big a thing is it? I go, years. This everything building up to this, years. I have a grandson named the Dread Corsair Robert. His name is Corsair Robert Hancock. And I go, yep, you know, he's going to be the Dread Corsair Robert. Got artwork and everything. You know, we had for his father, Corsair, my son, Corsair Khan, Pirate King. You think I haven't been in this mindset forever? What do you think I was building up to? Yeehaw! This is, you have no idea the long, I think 20 years into the future. This is one thing that I don't think a lot of people that don't really know me appreciate. I'm patient. And fortunately, we have supporters that are as patient. And we've shown them progress of where we're going. They're going, yep, they're smart guys, resources, and they understand. Yeah, we can see where this is going. You know, how can one little itty-bitty team, you know, Donna and I and friends and family, and it builds up, and we've been doing this for a long time, how does that, you know, have on several occasions get national attention to be able to inexpensively, cheaply, forever a splinter in your mind to get you thinking about something, you know, and having just an opinion that would be to, you know, share with what we hope like law in a stateless society. Go to freedomsphoenix.com right now. Butler Schaefer, law professor from Southwestern University. You know, he's been a speaker at almost like every Freedom Summit. You know, oh, we're doing another Freedom Summit this February in 18. You know, pipping at it. It's already filled up. You know, Mark's been on it hard, man. You know, he might even let me speak. We'll see. But we're going to be pimping that. You know, but after we got other stuff to do, we're going to have us some fun. Build the ship. You know, instead of saying, you know, just exasperated with what's going on. Who is John Galt? You know, my John Galt is going to be who? Just build the ship. You know, we're going to space. Government's not invited. You know, build the ship. Build the ship. We're going to go over here. We're going to, you know, do commerce there. We're going to pirate shipping of whatever. You know, build the ship. Build the ship. Technology is there. Build the ship. Build the ship. That's my response. That's when we win. It's just a revolution between the ears.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN. LibertyMedia.fm.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Friday, June 16th, 2017. Silver is trading at $16.78 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,255 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at 1.7 cents, and the average price of Bitcoin is $2,459. Antiwar.com reports Trump administration officials familiar with the decision-making process say that the Pentagon will be sending almost 4,000 more U.S. ground troops into Afghanistan soon, with the official announcement on the deployment likely to come as early as next week. The decision on troop-level increases has been expected for quite some time, and this week's announcement that President Trump has decided to delegate the matter entirely to Defense Secretary James Mattis. This both sped up the process and meant a large escalation was likely, as Mattis has been reported to have favored plans with large numbers of troops being sent. The 4,000 troops will be in addition to the 8,500 troops already in Afghanistan, and the escalation is widely expected to see other NATO member nations agree to commit more troops to the country, albeit much smaller deployments and likely with less willingness than the U.S. to send troops into combat situations. Officially, the U.S. combat operations in Afghanistan ended long ago, but increasingly the U.S. is deploying ground troops into areas being contested militarily by the Taliban, desperate to slow the rate of territory loss the Afghan government is facing, and the additional deployments are likely to add to that policy. For nearly 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals like gold and silver. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and have permanently removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co. UPI reports making good on promises to crack down on Cuba. President Donald Trump is expected to announce changes to existing U.S. policy during a trip to Miami on Friday, rolling back many of the steps taken by former President Barack Obama's administration. The president had been critical of actions that